You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I'm your host. I am delighted to be joined by the enigmatic, that's him crunching, David Schutenberg. Welcome to the show, my friend.
I'm back.
Welcome back to the show.
I haven't had any beers today.
Not even one?
Oh.
Come on, what was that?
That was the sound of chicken hitting the table.
Mm.
There's no 5-second rule with table hits.
No, you just gotta...
I want everybody to know that. I don't care if it's a table you're unfamiliar with.
You don't want to eat it off the table? You're saying you can eat it off the table?
No, I'm saying people flip out about that stuff.
Not me.
If I'm going to eat at a restaurant, I better be able to safely assume that table's been cleaned.
Oh, yeah.
They're hanging an A in the window.
Dude, you just never know.
My food hits the table, I'm eating that shit.
Fuck yeah. Do you guys clean with Windex or do you clean with vodka?
Vodka is not wasted on cleaning, except for my throat.
There's places where they actually do clean with vodka, and I'm like, you guys just got vodka to throw around like that? Is vodka cheaper than Windex? Maybe we should look into that.
Vodka's safer than Windex.
That's true.
We don't use Windex. We just use a properly calibrated sanitation bucket.
Well, when I'm...
Food-safe sani tabs.
This is very... Thank you for letting the record show that. I wish you did have headphones, David, so you could hear this.
Oh, it's got to be terrible.
It's awful.
It would. My wife will not listen to this episode, I promise.
So that's this is
chewing
the whole...
sounds make her crazy.
Chewing sounds make me crazy. But have you heard of ASMR? God damn it, ASMR. Do you know what this is?
I'm sure it's an acronym for something.
Good job. Yes, it is. But.
It's not asthma.
No, my asthma's acting up. I need my inhaler. We should also say that David Schutenberg is the chef and co-owner of Quaife, and soon
Ooh,
to be
co-owner. I like that.
Well, Tina's the owner, right?
I know, but you know, it's very hard sometimes when you're not the chef to get the publicity that you deserve, and none of this happens without her. So I'm happy to be a co-owner, happy to be called a co-owner.
Listen, if you've ever been to Quaife and seen Tina just dressed impeccably, you realize that you don't even have to ask. She's the co-owner. You know it. I know it anyway. When I see her, I'm like, that bitch owns this
place. She got yelled at in the parking lot last night by a guy who was parking like an asshole, blocking in literally like 5 or 6 cars. And she was trying to pull out. So she walked up to the window and she's like, this isn't technically a parking spot. This is a pass-through so cars can loop around the lot.
So pass-through.
He was like, who the fuck are you?
Whoa! Dude.
And at first she was like, nothing. And then at the end of it, she was like, well, actually, I'm the owner of Quaife that is housed in this building right here. So I might have a little understanding of what's going on. And he was like, yeah, you're the owner of Quaife.
Oh, my God.
And he was in like a Ford F5000, you know.
How many? That's the one with like 6 wheels on each side.
On the front side.
Yeah.
And he got out of the car and he was like, 5'3".
Of course.
I mean, so classic,
of course.
Right? Just classic.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, Tina's 5'9". She could have just stepped on the guy, but she was just like, you know what, eat a dick, and went on with her life.
She's so patient. Yeah, but she, you know, she's...
She has found balance.
Quaife.
Through Chinese food.
It does. Well, what we're eating right now is really fucking spicy, and I noticed that you only got yourself a water, so thanks for that.
Water doesn't actually help with spice. This is because I prefer things to be more spicy.
It makes it more spicy?
Yes.
Come on now. Is that real?
It doesn't help spice.
What helps spice? Milk? Is that real? Because I always feel like
cucumbers.
I mean, yes.
White rice.
Yeah. This is just the side items of your menu. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Oh, you're having pain? Let me sell you more stuff.
Yeah. You know what?
Dickhead.
Are you in some pain from this? I know how to give you some relief. It's going to be, see the bottom side for $4.
It's like Medicare for all.
Anybody can
have white rice. You just got to pay for it.
That's all. You just have to pay dearly for
it. Man, that makes people mad here.
Paying for
white. I can't believe rice isn't included.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
No, I'm chewing hard. Sorry.
Yeah, can you stop?
Okay, you eat.
All right. Well, I'm going to have a bite in a minute. I think it's hilarious when people think things should be included.
Yeah, I can include rice with everything, and I'll charge you $3 for it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then you'll be like, what?
But a pretty good percentage of people who eat here don't really care about rice. I'm being one of them. I think I love a bowl of perfectly cooked steamed rice.
Yes.
But I don't like to eat it with my dinner typically because... It
fills you up.
Yeah, I want to eat the other stuff.
Right.
But it's a nice counteraction for when you get the little spicy mouth. Anyways, when we were in China, nobody serves their food with rice there. People have a lot of, you know, kind of undervalued ethnic cuisine in this country. There's a preconceived notion as to what it's supposed to be based on how you're used to seeing it, and it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, the stir-fry fried rice egg roll combo is most
that's
assuredly...
Not, that's not traditional?
It's not a thing.
Interesting. You were just in China. I'm glad you brought that up.
Where
did you go? You went Chengdu?
Chengdu, and then we swung up to Xi'an for a couple of days, and then over to Chongqing, and then back to Chengdu to fly back home.
And you were there just strictly on research? Family trip, but also research?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it a vacation. That's one of those trips where you don't go there to relax. You go there to
write it off on your taxes.
And, well, there's that. But to haul ass, see everything you can see. But for us, it was eat absolutely everything we could stuff in our mouths.
And I popped by here like shortly after you guys got back, and because I was getting a Quiet Faye t-shirt, which is also on my hot list for the listeners at home of items that you can get one of your friends.
Hot list.
Thank you.
Wait, you have the sound effects already.
Yeah, I'm going to add them in. This episode is all about ASMR. We haven't even gotten there yet. It's coming around full circle. But the t-shirt is on my hot list. Because I think it's just a cool-looking t-shirt, even if you've never been to the restaurant. Because the graphic is hilarious. And it's based from a true story, which I think is even better.
are you setting me up to tell said story?
Yeah, tell
me. Well, it's designed... Well, it was conceptualized by myself and... then hand-drawn by Connor Locke, who does 7 graphic design in town here. The guy's incredibly talented. He did all of our branding, logo, and all of that work. But then when we wanted to do this t-shirt, I came to him as well. We had actually hired him to do the same idea for a friend of ours' wedding gift. And the premise behind it was kind of aping the old Raymond Pettibon hand-drawn black flag punk rock flyer artwork from the early 80s. And so I explained to him exactly what we wanted, and we had a particularly rough customer one time who ended her review with basically the line saying, "She has no business being in hospitality," speaking of Tina. And I always love the hyperbole of online reviews, both on both sides of the spectrum. And so we've decided to own them in every way possible, both good and bad. We have the wall of fame/shame. As you walk in the restaurant, you can write something nice about us and we'll put it on the wall. And you could write something really terrible about us and we're definitely going to put that on the wall.
That's definitely going up there.
So it's partially a challenge to anybody who comes in to come up with something truly horrific to say about us so they can make the wall. But I think it also kind of scares away a lot of people too. They're like, wait, are those real?
You mean fucking business. Does and the I'm woman like, that left the review, does she know that she was the star of this?
Oh, I don't think so. She'll never come back. God. We're okay with that. We can't make everybody happy.
No. And I think it's genius.
But it just dawned on me that, you know, the how much energy and time people put into trying to say negative things about a business. And I've had bad experiences and I don't feel the need to run home and jump on the computer and tell the world how terrible the place was. People have bad nights. People have off nights. Yeah. I'm not excusing a bad experience at a restaurant, you know, but it happens. And I just thought it was funny that the energy and vitriol that this woman had while she was in our restaurant then translated to the page. So, I, you know, the thing about Pettibon's artwork was that it was always something mildly subversive to just outright offensively violent with some really off-kiltered phrase on it. And so starting with that phrase, I decided that, you know, I would have a couple of your average... Man, I don't want to disparage anybody in particular, but there was certainly an inspiration for your like TripAdvisor, Yelper, yoga mom type person, you know, that helicopter mom. And so the image is, you know, two ladies frantically typing away on their cell phones. They got to get online and say the terrible things about that horrible restaurant they just ate at. And meanwhile, in the background, their kids have broken out of the playground and are about to get run over by a semi truck.
That's my favorite part about
because at least we have priorities, you know. Right. I got to get that negative review online.
I don't care if
gotta
it kills my kid. I have to. At all costs, the world has to know, even if it means...
And the people, you know, on the t-shirt aren't a real person, but it's, you know...
They bear no likeness.
Stereotypes exist for a reason, let's be honest.
Yes, they do.
And there's a particular type of person who likes to get online and say really bad stuff all the time.
Yeah, those
so
people.
We tried to memorialize them.
Well, you've done a beautiful job. I love the shirts. I have one
hot
in
list.
The cream.
Hot list.
I bought one myself, and I'm like, anybody would want to wear this T-shirt.
I don't
because
think
it
you
looks
paid for it, actually.
I know. Thank you. I text Tina, you asshole. You came in. I said,
I know.
I tried to pay, and then you were like.
Listeners, she did try to pay.
Weakly, feebly, I tried to pay. But he was like, I don't know how to run the POS.
I was making up for that time I forgot to put the cucumbers in your takeout order.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, you were angry. I don't blame you.
I didn't yelp about it, but I was sad because the cucumbers are one of my favorite parts, and I almost made Jeremy go back, but he was already home. but yeah, I texted Tina, and I was like, can you send me your Venmo so I can pay you for this beautiful T-shirt? And she said it was a gift. So, mm-hmm. So
we're good people here.
But I don't know how I got onto the hot list T-shirt, except it is on my hot list. But the show is all about ASMR because I don't know what it stands for, and I should. I mean, I do. I've read it. It's audio sensory.
GTS.
Come on, I know. Hold
Google
on.
That shit.
I like that you used another acronym.
I'm an old punk rocker. I'm full of acronyms.
You are? Give me some more while I look this up.
Well, there was all sorts of punk rock bands that were started with acronyms. Another one. One of my favorites was AFA. Another fucking acronym. I don't know. DOA. JFA. There's thousands of them, and now that the microphone's in front of me, I can't think of them.
Yeah, JBF. Wait, no, that's something different. Hold on.
What is it?
Hold on. It's ASMR. I want to guess.
ASMR.
Audio sensory meridian response.
Autonomous.
Oops, I just didn't even read that part.
That's okay.
You know, I'm a millennial.
Tingles, cosplay, role plays, and ASMR for all of your relaxation needs. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's people on YouTube that do this now.
Correct. And I think it's ridiculous, but apparently it is like essentially an eargasm for people. They love to hear this. It makes them like tingle all over.
Is there a bad word that ends with gasm?
No. I mean, maybe eargasm.
Sarcasm?
Sarcasm is
no, that's chasm,
a core
not
value.
Gasm.
Yeah. Sargasm.
Fuck it, change the word.
She's so sarcastic. No, I mean, obviously orgasm, eargasm, sarcasm. But I had this idea, and we're going to get into
it. These scallions are delicious.
Where these people, it's very popular now in like the yoga world. It really, any, like if you're in the vortex of self-care, which so many people are.
Who isn't?
Everybody.
Who purposefully goes, I'm not going to take care of myself today.
I mean, a lot of people.
It doesn't mean that they have 1 ounce of time to devote to no. Actually going, I'm going to take some time to be
I need to take
not
some
only
time.
With, but by myself.
To achieve that balance.
And next to myself. I don't know.
I want to sit with myself. These are the kind of things that
I think
say.
With your podcast, you should have an ASMR. AMSR?
ASMR.
That's nothing but people eating food.
I mean, I'm sure someone would
listen
to it.
It's a polarizing show for sure. Most
I
people
would never
would be
listen
like, that's
it.
Disgusting. Some people would be like, oh my God.
Some people have already turned it off because we were eating chicken so loudly in the first part. I know that. But
you can take that out in post.
We'll fix it in post.
I know. I remember.
You know those days. But the whole, like, I wanted to do a spoof on a guided meditation, which is what you're about to hear from David. And I wanted to tie it into, like, you could actually make a dish or at least hear someone making a dish and like kind of combine those stupid trendy things, which are guided meditation, ASMR, and food. Like they're pretty much the like top three buzz things that I can think of at any given time, especially in this city. So it's going to be really fun. And we're going to play that in just a minute. Actually, why don't we play it now?
As a middle-aged white man, I'm 100% absorbed by the idea of ASMR.
You are?
And as a cook and chef and business owner, I need some time to myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'm going with this.
Listen, you just got
to
go where
I think that the fun is going to come because I'm probably the least likely person to do something ASMR for myself.
It's not really. Listen.
Did I even use that
no,
properly?
You're not saying it.
See, no. I'm proving my point listen, right now.
Listen, we're going to, let's just play it. We're going to play the ASMR / guided meditation / tutorial, audio tutorial, auditorial. Can I make up a new word?
Roll the tape.
All right, let's roll it.
In trying times,
Oftentimes, people struggle with balance. When your life is out of balance, your heart is out of balance, your soul is out of balance. We must return our lives to balance, and we will do this with Chinese cookery. Imagine, if you will, your body, a slew of raw emotion, some angry, some happy. We need to find a way to put them all together and find balance. Let's start with our angry emotions. Let's close our eyes and envision, if you will, the stress of the day manifesting itself in the form of garlic, ginger, and scallions. All hot flavors that must be tamed in order to find balance. We will add these aromatic characteristics of our life to a white, hot wok to tame them, to help us achieve balance. And once they have started to char and their flavors have started to meld, we will add our happy chicken bits. Because what chicken bits aren't happy, especially when coated in eggs and cornstarch and fried briefly to a delicious, tender crispness? Once those hit the wok, we add fire. Fire in the form of a multitude of dried chilies, spices such as sesame and Szechuan peppercorn to numb the otherwise fiery heat from chilies. We add additional scallions, and then, over an incredibly hot flame, we toss and we toss and we toss. Picture the tossing. View the nuggets flying through the air, becoming one with the scallion, the ginger, the garlic, all of them coming together to become balanced.
Ow, my eye!
Okay, we're back.
We're on the record.
We're back. Yeah, we're back on the record. We were talking about some shit that you guys can't hear about, but that's not fun for anyone.
I'm trying to grow a business here.
Yeah. He's trying to get some major awards here, so we're going to talk about
it. I already won the majorist.
I know. If you haven't gone to our Instagram and seen that story, I don't know how many messages I get a week from people that just start following the account, and you're just the only thing they talk about. They're like, in your highlights where that guy was jumping up and down, and it's just... It's the best thing we've ever done.
I miss the old crew.
I know, the effing best. We're going to try to get the effing best back on this year. I'm going to try to make that happen.
I saw Philip in Hudson in August.
Really?
Yeah, I went and drank at his bar.
Cool. I just saw him here in Charleston.
Yeah, he came down, didn't come see me.
Well,
the guy
was a mainstay
at the pop-up, and he didn't come see me.
I know. He had a lot of people to see. I barely saw him. I saw him for like 5 minutes.
Cohen. Eat a dick.
Yeah, eat several.
Come back.
But I want to talk about food media because I had this thought the other day, and I was like, I don't know if this is just from personal experience, but the people that write about food, correct me if I'm wrong, and all of them listening right now are going to get fucking pissed, but they can't cook, and they not that they don't know anything about food, but I don't know. I can't tell you how many food editors, food writers have told me like, oh no, I don't know how to do that. Or they'll admit it like openly on social media, like them trying to learn how to cook, like putting forth valiant effort to learn.
Is it the businessification of food writing? You know, where there was a time when it was food writers came from the world of food because they were experts. But
right.
Then it became, we need to sell ads and move units and So we need somebody who understands that side of it. And the whole food thing, you don't need to know much about that.
You don't need to know much about that. You need to know how to take a pretty picture. You need to know how to style it. Like, the styling game got really, really amped up. But the actual, like, these people knowing how to cook.
But the styling game got amped down, too. It got amped up because the equipment got better and cheaper.
Right.
Like when Tina was pregnant 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago, she was pregnant.
God. Happy birthday, Jesse.
I was still at Fatty Crab in the West Village and had put in my notice because I'm going to be a dad and I don't want to be a cook like that right now. And there's just the hours are too much. And I tried to get into food styling.
Really?
Yeah. So I spent 6 months doing assisting work, you know, and that's kind of the MO for it. You start as an assistant and you learn the business and hopefully you can stick long enough. But getting an assistant's job is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't know at the time was it was going to be 90 days before any of those paychecks ever came through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, food magazines don't pay.
No.
They don't pay on time and sometimes they just don't pay.
Sometimes they just can't pay.
Yes.
Sometimes but, they just can't.
So that was a very short-lived endeavor. But anyways, I don't remember what the point was.
Well, the equipment got so much better and then yes. Now it's cheaper that you don't have to go to these...
Yes.
These
you don't bring in photographers and food stylists anymore.
I was just talking to one who's out of a job.
Influencers,
right?
Who know how to shoot a picture on their iPhone really well.
And
that's good. That's fine.
That's fine, I guess. But what I'm like saying is, there's a really weird, like, it's become just about how it looks and not really about what people know or like technique, which is why
I think it would take serious cojones, and maybe somebody will get the stones to do it, but just to be like, this is what real cooking is,
yeah.
And I'm not worried about moving units. I'm trying to appeal to somebody who really wants to talk cooking. And so recipes will be in grams instead of one cup and one tablespoon or a pinch or a smidge.
I think everywhere they should be
a
in grams
now. A pinch or a smidge
now.
Is great for home cooking, and that's granted what the purpose of the recipe is. But if you're as into food as you say you are, and you want to be
scale.
A great cook at home... Get a fucking scale.
Also, just scales for consistency.
$20.
For consistency, of course. But for me, it's about tools. It's you use less shit. You make less dishes. If you've ever tried to make something, you know how many containers and little measuring spoons and measuring cups you go through trying to get a shitty, inaccurate thing that ends up not turning
and
out how you thought?
And then you're halfway through the recipe and you're like, oh, my fucking tablespoon's covered in shortening. And I've got to clean it. And I got to clean it really quick. Oh, fat and hot water. They don't do anything. And then it's just a disaster.
So it's like, why aren't these actually cookable recipes? That if I ever write a cookbook, which I said I never would, not that anybody's asked, not that anybody's banging down my door, but I would not put any photos in it. It would be like an old school, like Julia Child, just a like manuscript.
You're out of business.
Come on. I just think, or they would be all in black and white. Like those.
Do you remember the old Savure early days or Cook's Illustrated where it was just hand-drawn pictures? There was no color photography. It was like somebody did pencil line drawings of a guy's hand chopping scallions. I was fascinated.
Right. So much cooler because now I'm like, it is everybody's Instagram. My Instagram feed, I'm like, I can't tell what's what. None of it. It's all so beautiful that it's just this dull shade of nothingness.
It's all so same.
Yeah. So I'm like, I would never, I don't know. But food media just makes me laugh because I'm like, if you look at people like, I'm going to call, you don't want me to call their names out, but editors in chief of magazines that are very prominent, popular, they don't come from a background in food.
Sure.
They come from a background in magazines, rightly so. But those people can't cook. Maybe we can leave it in. She's a friend of mine. She tells me that she doesn't know how to cook. She hates cooking, actually. So it's like, and I hear that all the
fucking time. I remember
being
at Patty Crab and going, holy shit, make it perfect.
Yeah, it's like, she doesn't, she
doesn't even know what perfect is.
She can still have her opinion, but it's like, she just has to run the magazine. But I'm like, man, at what point do you have to have a little working knowledge of like, that's a tiny little morsel. Do you have to have, there it is.
I can't stop.
Now you're obsessed.
Lazi G, Kwai Fei, 1977, Maybank Highway. Come in, order. It's great.
It's really delicious.
Rumor has it, the chef's really handsome.
Super handsome. But David, you just told me something about this dish that I didn't realize, and I'm glad you said it because I've been feeling like a fool. I don't like to eat the whole chilies, but I thought that was like me being a loser.
No.
Are you not supposed to eat the chilies?
So there's a much bigger story that we could delve into if we wanted to, but let me tell you the short version and then you can decide.
Okay.
Non-edible garnish on a plate in Chinese food is A-OK.
Really?
100%. Those okay. chilies, while providing a flavor profile.
Yeah.
It's called burnt chili flavor, and you add these dried chilies into the wok, and you just scorch them. They give a really woodsy flavor to the overall dish. Pardon. Do provide some heat, but they're not even split open. So really, you know, the capsaicin's hidden inside that chili. It's really about that bitter, scorched flavor that's added to it. You can eat them, but it's not necessary.
That's good to know.
There's no need to eat them.
Well, I never do
because
I don't.
It's like eating the bottom of my kitchen clog. You don't want to do that.
It feels weird in my mouth, but then I was like, maybe I'm just, you know.
No, you're not wrong. That's half the fun of this dish is picking through that mound of chilies and finding all the good bits. I mean, you don't even eat the whole Szechuan peppercorns that are in there. You could. See those?
You could if you're a fucking psycho. You want to just eat.
Oh, they're delicious.
Oh, I know, but I mean, like that many?
Super citrusy.
There's a lot of
them. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Did you bring peppercorns back from China?
I did.
Are they?
We did them as almost like it was like truffle season at Kuaifei for a couple of days. I had these fresh because we were in China right at the season. So when we went to the farmers markets, they would have fresh Szechuan peppercorns there, green, brown, but fresh, like perfect. And
are they ready to eat right then?
Yeah, I mean, we would take like literally one peppercorn off of this stalk and put it on the tongue. And I'm a fan of eating it, chewing it, swallowing it, and seeing what happens. But we would take two like little chews and spit it out, and my entire mouth went completely numb.
Whoa.
It was unlike anything you can get here in the States, for sure.
So it's like the equivalent of if you buy that shitty McCormick bottle of dried dill. It's still going to taste like dill, but it's going to be much more muted, less 100%. In your face.
Man, I use
version.
That all the time. Go dill? Back and listen. No, 100%.
Oh. I was like, what do you with dill on in your Chinese restaurant?
We had a great cocktail with dill in it when we were in Chongqing. Anyways, the wider part of the story is that in fancy pants French cooking, which is how I was trained, you never put anything on the plate that's not going
right.
to be eaten.
Right.
So a whole sprig of rosemary is just ridiculous.
You would never.
And you can kind of gauge the quality of food you're about to eat if there's giant rosemary trees on your plate when you come out.
Right.
Am I at a wedding? Am I at a country club?
Right.
You know, is it a catered event? I don't know.
Unless it's like you're presenting a dish and it's for presentation's sake, right? Like I have seen in fancy French cooking, they'll bring out like a giant bird and it's got like a bouquet of herbs or something. And then they take it back and carve it.
Yeah.
And then they plate it.
I
and
can
they
see that. And I mean, even at craft, when you would finish a steak, you know, you'd have it in the pan and you'd be butter basting it with a giant sprig of thyme. You would send the steak out beautifully charred with that sprig of thyme on there.
Right.
Someone wants to eat it, fine. It's not going to hurt them. But a big, you know, that big raw stalk of rosemary.
Yeah, no, that's so stupid.
Like Cesare used to walk around with in his pocket in New York.
Right.
Remember that?
No.
People used to, Cesare, just a giant stalk of rosemary in his pocket at all times.
No.
People used to put that shit on their plate, and that's just silly.
Yeah, that's
but
dumb.
But
in
Chinese cuisine, aside from the idea of a non-edible thing on the plate being A-OK, which happens a lot here, I have found, as I've been cooking this food for 2 years, that I get full of myself and read recipes, and I'm like, nah, that's wrong. That's not the way I was trained. I have French training. I know more. And I will start playing with what I think is the proper way to cook Chinese food because of my training or how it's informed. And it's more technique driven than it is flavor profile driven. But if I read a recipe that's like, yeah, take the pork butt and roast it in the oven for 40 minutes at 450 degrees and then take it out and you're done. And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
That can't be all.
That can't be right. A pork butt is going to be like shoe leather at 40 minutes. So for probably 10 years, I've been working on a char siu recipe. I've been chasing this dragon of perfect char siu and I can't get it right. And it's because I keep
overthinking
trying
it?
To do what my French chefs told me is the proper way to handle a particular cut of meat. And one day I was like, fuck this. I'm making char siu. I'm following this recipe in this thrift store cookbook I found from 1973 called Chinese Snacks. And it's exactly how I'm going to do it. And it was written by a Chinese woman from Hong Kong who was, it's basically a technique driven book. It's super cool.
Whoa.
But it's from the early 70s. And I did it to the T and I was like, fuck, done. Perfect. I can't
Seriously?
Believe I spent 10 years of my life
just like fighting,
changing things and, oh, I'll adjust it here and I'll do this. And it certainly wasn't like, you know, I spent all 10 years, all time in that 10
yeah.
years. But when it came
Every
time
single
to,
day.
I need a recipe with some char siu, then I started playing. And then now it's done. It's done and it's pretty tasty. And
You can eat it here at Kwai Fei, 1977 Maybank Highway on lovely James Island.
On beautiful James Island.
Anyways, that was the point. It's that someone has been cooking this food for thousands of years. And who the hell am I
right.
to think that in my 15-year cooking career that I might know something more than somebody than a recipe that's a couple thousand year old?
Right. And I mean, there's...
And it's helped the food at the restaurant.
Well,
immeasurably.
Food is delicious all the time.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm a major, major fan. I do want to give a quick shout out to the new concept you have opening.
Oh, thank you. Micho is coming.
Yeah. Are you getting excited?
I'm incredibly excited. Without trying to step on Kwai Fei's feet, Mexican cooking is my first love. I was raised in Arizona, as was Tina. Tina's mom is Mexican. So before I even attended cooking school, I was learning Mexican cooking from my future wife's mother. And aww. So I had an inherent love for the food already. And then when you started cooking, oh, she gets mad because I do the same thing. I put all my fancy pants French cooking shit into her Mexican food. And she just stands over my shoulders like, nope, wrong.
That's wrong.
Or she doesn't say it to me. She turns around and mouths it to the guests at the party like, he's screwing it up. He's doing it wrong.
An idiot.
You know, but those, we found some happy balance in there. But Micho is a 40-foot container that we had built.
Which I just got to see, yes. And I have to say, you've designed it so expertly.
It's essentially designed with the idea of service like a food truck, but nobody wants to work in a food truck.
They're just too goddamn small. No matter how big they are, they're too small.
So this is a 340-square-foot container that has a full hotline. It's got the horsepower to do any concept we would ever want out of it. So there'll be space for parties and pop-ups in the future, for sure. But our focus will be, basically, we're calling it border food, like Arizona-Mexico mashup food. And one of the things we're going to feature is the border dogs, which are Mexican-style hot dogs. Mm. Guys in Mexico called dogueros will take their hot dogs, wrap them in bacon, throw them on a griddle until bacon and dog become one. And then instead of your pillowy, you know, enriched Martin's potato roll hot dog yeah. bun, they use a traditional bolillo roll, which is a little crustier, almost French baguette-ish
ooh.
Type of bread. There'll always be a nice smear of refried beans in there, and then your dog, and then a whole slew of Mexican condiments on top. Salsas, lettuces, tomatoes, cremas, cheeses, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God.
So that was, like, everything in Arizona, and I love them, and I'm super excited. I did some research, and I'd seen some people that have done them here and there around Charleston before as a special or maybe at a pop-up or as an overall part of a larger menu, but I don't know that anybody's ever, like, focused on them. So in addition to those, we'll be doing 4 or 5 rotating tacos as well as tortas, which are Mexican sandwiches. Mm. And we'll be using local bread from Normandy Farms Bakery. And, I can't wait to get started. So we should be open there by early December.
Hell yeah.
A mere 6 months behind schedule.
Just a half a year. That's all. People can wait a half a year for delicious border dogs. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, December maybe isn't the hottest month to put people on the deck, which is where our focus is, but we'll have heaters out there for deck eating.
You guys are killing it.
And we'll be able to do takeout from the window on the parking lot side. So
genius.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Well, I can't wait to come see you. And thank you so much for being on the show. This is always...
I love being on the show. I'm pissed at you that this is only my second time.
Dude, it's not... Listen... I've been doing them in my closet, okay? Just me. I never leave my house, but I'm getting out more and more.
I'll come to your house okay. just to be on the show.
You'll come in the closet?
I love the show.
Thank you.
I've
show
been in
loves
the closet
you.
For years, Lindsay.
I know. Well, you can come hang out in my closet. I stay in there Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Can I critique your wardrobe?
Sure. Actually, there's some of Tina's stuff. Shout out to Tina. There's a beautiful jacket I got at Present Future.
Yeah.
Last year that I, yeah, we can sit in there, we can hold hands, we can do more ASMR segments. If
it
you live
the
in
podcast to 7 minutes in heaven.
Yes. Oh my God, I love you.
I'm an idea man, Lindsay.
I know, you can't stop.
They're all pretty bad ideas, but I am an idea
but they're
man.
They're everywhere. I love you. Thanks for being on the show.
I love you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, God. I just could go on and on. I just saw so many articles where Kwai Fei is just blown up. You guys are killing it. If you guys live in Charleston, you have to go. You probably already do, but you should go more. And if you don't live in Charleston and you don't get off the peninsula and go out there, then you're doing it wrong.
And never forget.
Yeah.
Life is about balance.
And we'll see you next week. Bye, 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 bye. Pour passer de nuit à un soir, on enverra des cartes postales. Je laisserai un mot sur le frigo. On décidera de se faire la malle. Ta famille, les amis.
That's all I have right now.
Sorry.
I can't do anything else. There was so much garbage in there.
Oh, that was so good. Imagine the nuggets.
That I got so stalled. I was like, the happy emotions, chicken nuggets.
You fucking killed that. No, seriously, I don't know how. I mean, we could do another take, but I don't know why.
Great, let's go with it. Do it.